Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back. Good afternoon or good morning, where you are, depending on what side of the state or the country you're in. Thank you for joining us again this week at On Point. I'm your host, A. Trey, with my wonderful friend and co-host, Dr. James Moore. Dr. J, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, sir. How you holding up?
Not too bad. I'm here today, so the worst part of the week is behind me, so I'm cool. I am cool.
Okay.
Man, you ever have one of those weeks that just make you think about it and you ponder, one, why you went through it, and two, how you got through it? That's what this week was.
I understand. Well, I hope things are on the upswing for you, brother.
Oh, most deaf. Hey, plus I got my boy in my corner, so I'm cool. This week, you ever had that statement, you just, really? And then you, really? All right, this week in State of Our Union, it's to vote or not to vote. Is that the question? Okay, and after a little bit of research, Jay, and this is on you. We've come to find that Alabama had closed down many of their DMV offices. Okay, and as some of you might have guessed, the closed offices are in the areas or rural areas that would have made it easier for the lower income people to vote. And the question is that intentional? Was it an accident? Is this a conspiracy? Be the idea behind it, this string of closings in Alabama. And the upcoming election anyway. I mean, being about just a year away, it seems like something that was spoken. And so that's going to be our topic for today. And in our second half, in business talk, it's like the empire in me. And we'll get to it. I was doing a little bit of research. I'd really like for you to open on that with the thing in Alabama. I was doing a little bit of research, and I'm going to just give a touch of history. And mind you, this isn't black or white. It just happens to start. It happens to start there. It's a civil rights thing. And 1866, the Civil Rights Act had been passed. It had granted citizenship, but not the right to vote. To all native-born Americans. Mind you, it did not say black, white, Mexican, Chinese, Japanese. It didn't say that. It says all native-born Americans. Louisiana, about 19 years later, 16 years earlier, passed a grandfather clause. And it was, mind you, this is a law that's still on the books. Just it has an amendment to it or a freeze, so to speak. To keep former slaves and their descendants from voting. As a result, registered voting amongst black people, because they did at one point, they just didn't count, had dropped by 44%. In 1964, poll taxes were outlawed with the adoption of the 24th Amendment, because it's a free process. You don't charge, but that's what happened. Now, here's something that I found more interesting. In 1966, President Lyndon Johnson, he signs the Voting Rights Act into law, and it permanently barred any barriers to political participation. By any racial or ethnic minority, prohibiting any election practice that would deny the right to vote on an account of your race or ethnicity, or your descendants. President Johnson did that. In 1970, 5 years later, Richard Nixon, now here's what sucks, and people don't listen. President Nixon signed an extension of the Voting Rights Act, which extended it to from 1965 up to 1995, 25 years. And it had
open participation. Let me just chime in for a second there and just tell you something. It's sad that there had to be an extension. I just want to drop that in there. It should have been a
I agree. Oh, wait. But wait. There's a little bit more. I got to put in 1975, President Gerald Ford, he signed an extension. The 25-year extension that Nixon signed had only had a 5-year preempt to it. You had to go 5 years before it was acted upon in order for us to vote. Now, President Ford, Nixon did it, Ford did it, and then in 1982, Ronald Reagan did it. He signed a 25-year extension, same thing. And then in 2006, it extended that Section 5 of that amendment. George Bush did it, Jr. He did it.
Okay.
Another 25-year extension. Yeah. And that has got to make you think.
And it does. And we want to hear what you think. Our number is 347-855-8662. Now, Trey, I also did a little bit of research myself. I'm going to chime in for something.
Feel free.
So I was searching around because this actually missed me, and I was a little frustrated when I heard it. And it's not that it's anything new, but to see this actually go into action was a little frustrating. And they're beginning the closings. And one of the sites I went to was the ACLU.org. And they mentioned that before the Supreme Court had gutted the Voting Rights Act in 2013, Alabama would actually have to go and submit a change for the review of this by the Department of Justice to determine whether or not it was against the law. So they're saying the fact that it was implemented without approval is just an example of why Congress has to restore the Voting Rights Act. Now, that was just one piece. Now, one of the other things that I found, and this is from Alabama's website, their website, their chief law enforcement officer is going to close all but four of the state's largest driver's license offices next year if lawmakers don't provide more funding than they're proposing. Now, we know how that falls out, and yes, we can talk conspiracy, we can talk a whole bunch of things. But this gentleman, his name is Spencer Collier, he told a press conference that the proposed legislature, their regular sessions are unacceptable and unworkable, so they have to do better. Now, they have to. No one's forced them. Now, I know we have to get people out there to vote and all that stuff as well. But my last piece that I'm going to share with you, this one comes from Daily Kos, and they're saying despite the strict voter ID laws, Alabama's in the process of closing 45 of the 49 offices. So they're saying that it's a privilege, not a right, and they're taking it kind of serious. And what we've done is these budget cuts have caused them to say that the offices that will remain open, Aaliyah states that this is Huntsville, Montgomery, Mobile, and Birmingham, and that this will no doubt have a devastating effect on the lower-income residents, considering that 18.7% of those residents live at poverty level. 8.4 of them live at extreme poverty level. They said it's another blow that will actually surely leave more people behind. And they asked that, can you imagine a single parent needing to take an entire day, maybe even 2 days, travel to a driver's license office, wait all day to take their turn for the test? Now, just getting the test is, not only that, but that also causes someone else who's already in extreme or low poverty take 1 or 2 days off of work, which kind of, you know, a lot of families, that actually is very destructive. And they said the more frightening part about this is that the effect that it has on voting in Alabama, where a conservative legislature passed a law in 2011, which requires a photo ID to vote. So they've already been on a steady decline, 41% in November 2014, and the closures are not going to help bring these numbers up. And I think
right.
that there's a lot on the surface, and there's stuff underneath that we have to look at when this type of thing occurs. Now, for some strange reason, folks going out there
let me add this to it. Okay, I'm all for you know us having the first thing. Voting isn't a privilege; it is a right.
I agree.
That's why it was made a law. That's why they kept extending it, which I'm gonna address another time, which makes no damn sense to me. Nonetheless, it is a right. No, it's a privilege if it's not necessary. A car is not necessary
right.
to get from point A to point B when you got a bus. You know, feet, having feet, that's a right. You were born with those. You have a right to walk. Okay, so you can't tell me that it's a privilege for me to walk. No, it's a privilege in the idea of life, but it's my right to be able to walk because I have feet to use them. If these individuals close these places down, now mind you, the places that you named are supposed to be the more prominent area, which is also funny. I had to bring that up. And if it looks like the process of elimination. If you alleviate
yeah.
any of the opposition by relocating, you've monopolized your ability to execute just what you want. That's just my idea. I mean, that's just my opinion. But it looks that way.
I agree. Now, I also want to point out that they're saying this is happening in the future. But college is also saying that the lawmakers are telling them they're not hearing from the voters about the budget and seeing they're tying it into the budget. And part of me, I understand, you know, you need a budget to run a state. I get that. But it's very interesting how they selected what offices close and which ones do not. And I think that's the more important point that we have to look at. And we have to have some solutions. So, you know, folks are going to have to get out there and reach out to their lawmakers and say, hey, look, this is not going to work for us. And I think the point that I was going to make earlier is this. A lot of folks complain about the issues, but they don't get out there and do anything. Or, you know, folks get out there and do stuff, but they don't do it in the right area. Like we talked about doing monetary boycotts on specific days of the year and things like that. Those are the things that get folks' attention. If I stand out there and just hold a sign, that's well and that's good. But what am I doing behind the scenes? What
exactly.
actions am I taking? I think that's the component that's missing. We have to get.
And what some people don't realize, and they go, well, it's the government, okay. And we agree, the DOJ or the Department of Justice, that's a part of the government branch, right? That's federal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Louisiana in 2011, and I thought this was kind of crazy. Let me bring it back. There were restrictions passed in South Carolina, Texas, Florida, and Louisiana, and on voting, they for the ID, for a toll tax, for testing. You had to test to take a pass. This was, mind you, President Johnson said this wasn't right. He didn't say unconstitutional. He said it wasn't right. Okay, in 2011, Texas passed one of the nation's most restrictive voter ID laws under the VRA, and the DOJ had to look into it. South Carolina passed a restrictive voter ID law that would keep more than 180,000 minorities from casting a ballot. Now, the Department of Justice, in the same year, 2011, under the VRA, the Department of Justice blocked South Carolina's voter ID law, saying it discriminates against minority voters and that it was unconstitutional. If your Department of Justice thinks it's not right and you see it, that should incline you to do something more about it. You have a voice. You have a voice. Regardless to what anyone says, you have a voice. and you have the opportunity to stand up for what you believe in, what you feel. You have a right to stand up for your right. And having rights is not a privilege. It's a natural right. And you just have to stand up for them. You have a right to talk. You have a right to walk. You have a right to live better. You have a right to want better. You have a right to want more. You have a right to achieve, to grow. And in this nation, and we, mind you, we live in one of the greatest countries in the world, but it has its flaws, and some of its flaws are big as hell. They're only as big as we allow them to be.
That's a great point. Well, you know, Trey, before we move on to the next segment, I just want to throw a little something in there, and that just revolves around a lot of times folks don't know what to do, and maybe they don't want to get out of their houses or can't get out of their houses, but you know what? Everybody pretty much has either a cell phone or a computer or a tablet or all the above. Social media is powerful. Start a social media campaign. You know, get folks aware of what's going on. Pass the word. You know, get something aimed at the lawmakers to let them hear you. And then when the time comes, get out there and pull that lever or punch that shit, as it were, you know. But I just want to throw that in there. Social media, it is. I don't know if you heard the story about the young gentleman who, as a joke, started a social media account for a mayor that was fake, and folks thought it was real. And then he ended up, for some reason, because he was exercising his First Amendment rights and then got attacked for doing it, he ended up suing the city and he won. But, you know, we'll have to cover that in another day. But it was interesting. He put some horrendous tweets out there for the mayor. I mean, some were borderline embarrassing. But anyways, I know we have another segment that we want to move on to, man. And I know we're talking business talk, so why don't you bring us in?
Yeah, it's on this segment, business talk. We're going to discuss the entrepreneurial upstarts that are out there not being taken advantage of. And ask the question, why can't folks see it? Why won't they get involved? Why don't they take advantage of it? How is it that folks can cheer on for positive and negative business ventures on TV, but never take the perspective of cheering for or saying that they can access the empire in them? So that's the segment. This segment's name is The Empire in Me.
Fear. I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna say it right now. Fear. Fear.
Why fear?
I'll tell you. Humans are creatures of habit, and we have been trained by the system to get up every day, go to a job that most of us probably don't particularly care for, and work and get not enough money to survive, but we're trained to come back the next day to continue that process. But think about this. How many times have you driven to work in the morning and you don't want to go, and everybody's racing to get to a place they don't want to go? They don't want anybody to beat them to that place they don't really want to go. And your boss will pay you just enough to make you come back tomorrow, you know, and you'll do it all over again. He'll never pay you enough to be out there for 6 weeks or 6 months on your own, doing whatever you want to do. But, yeah, we're going to race and try and kill each other to get to a place that we're going to now sit at our desk, drink our what we call the Marine Corps lifer juice, our coffee, and sip on it and complain about how much the place stinks while we punch in the next numbers for the next budget or, you know, chart up the next venture that we have going on so we can give the credit to somebody else. And they're going
to
take it
to
somebody
else. Talk to that person who has a bad attitude, right?
Absolutely. You know, you're sitting next to that person who hasn't figured out that perhaps deodorant's a good idea in the morning, whatever the case is, these horrible things that happen at work. And nobody's brave enough, and I won't say nobody, a lot of people are not brave enough to step out there and try and start their own thing or to take a business venture and an idea and run with it. And I'm going to tell you honestly, Trey, it has sickened me at least 3 times because I had ideas and me and a buddy sat and talked about it and let it slide. And somebody else put that idea out there. You know, I told him one day, I said, hey, look, you know these little thumb drive things? What if we could stick those in the car and play our music? Like, man, who's going to want to do that? And now look what's happened. I mean, that's happened to me 3 or 4 times. It's just all kinds of stuff. And it's because we don't get out of that fear zone. Most of us are afraid of, you know, what's how am I going to eat tomorrow if I step out on my own? And a lot of people don't realize you get tax write-offs. You get the ability to do a whole bunch of other things you don't have. If you're running your own business, you don't have to drive somewhere necessarily anymore. You don't have to drive to an office. And I've always told my students, right, and I'm going to be honest with you, here's the thing. Your boss controls a whole lot of your life, almost all of it. And they
right.
said, I don't believe you. I said, really? Your boss dictates what you eat, when you eat, what type of food you buy, how expensive it is, what kind of clothes you wear, what kind of car you drive, and what kind of house you live in, and how far you live away from work. And they said, how do you do that? By what he decides to pay you. Because based on what your boss pays you, that determines what you eat, when you eat, how much of it you eat, what kind of car you drive, whether or not you fill up your tank or you just put $5 in to get you by.
That's right.
And people don't realize
even when you're at work.
How to get
even
out
when
of
you're
that
at work, it dictates how much time you have.
Yeah.
You will use 15 minutes, and you can't spend any more time than that because that's not a lot. We're going to give you 30 minutes
right.
just for your lunch. Now, because
yeah.
you might get a bad case of the itis, we're going to let you have another 15 minutes to recoup 2 hours later, and then you can leave. And there's a possibility, though, that I might have to keep you, and it's going to be mandatory for you to stay overtime. Oh, but that's only if I need.
Have you ever worked in a cubicle?
I'm sorry?
Have you ever worked in a cubicle?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
now,
friend.
This really sank in with me after I saw a comparison between a cubicle and a prison cell. And I had to think about that because the cubicle is smaller than the prison cell. And this is not knocking anybody who's in prison. That's not the point I'm making. Is that a cubicle smaller than the prison cell? It doesn't have its own laboratory. It doesn't have TV. It doesn't have a bed. And you have to be in there for a required amount of time every day. And guess what? If you don't, you can't eat the next day. So what do we do about it? We have to look at changing that and taking on those business ventures and being adventurous. You know, I always tell folks, get a mentor, someone who's doing what you want to do that's willing to share with you so that they can help you get out of whatever it is that you're in. You know, you have to find something. And here's the thing. Find something that you enjoy or love doing and do that. Turn that into your business. Turn that into your job, because then it's not work. And people don't get that. They're afraid of letting go. If you have something you absolutely love doing, find a way to do that that makes you a living. And that changes your perspective.
Here's something. You, on point, us, we, and we're making strides to do something that we love. We like talking to you. You know, it makes us feel better. We get some things off our chest. We hope that you get some things off yours. As a matter of fact, if you have something that you'd like to add to this, you can call us, 347-855-8662, and tell us some of your ideas. But I said, you know, we could take this to another level, so we're progressively taking those steps. But trust me, everything that you do, anything that you want, requires bravery. It requires dedication. It requires desire.
Wow.
It requires want. You have to be brave enough to know that you're strong enough to do what it is you want to do. You have to have a desire to commit to it.
That is powerful.
You
man.
Have to.
That is powerful.
You know?
You remember when this was just an idea?
In,
you remember when it was just an idea?
What's that? But Ugly Ties.
You remember this radio show was just an idea? It was just an idea
yes.
at one point.
Yes.
I remember those days. And you mentioned bravery, and I'm glad you did. You know, one of my favorite quotes, and I shared it just a short while ago with some folks, and it was by Thucydides, okay? And what it was is he said, the bravest surely are those who have the clearest vision of what is before them, glory and danger alike, yet notwithstanding go out to meet it. That is one of my favorite quotes of all time.
I love it.
And I think that is the thing that people are missing. We've lost our bravery. Sure, it's, you know, it's brave to put on a helmet or, you know, pads and go out and you know, bang each other. I get that. It's brave to get up there and speak in front of people. But it's also brave to have an idea and follow through with it, to start a business.
Yes.
And you know, it adds to the economy. It adds to a lot of things. But, you know, when I told folks, hey, I get to write my cell phone off and, you know, my mileage you know, you can write off a portion of your house depending on how you have it set up. And there's a lot of office supplies. That in itself saves you money. The fact that I don't have to leave my home to throw on a suit and tie every day, that saves me money. There's so many things. But I think that what it is folks sometimes have these great ideas, and they can't access that empire within them. They're afraid to. What happens if it goes wrong? That's the question.
You know what? We have a email address, onpointphoenix@gmail.com. Write us. Ask the question.
Absolutely.
And we will help you. Write us. Ask the question. How do I get started? We have ideas. Not perfect. We're not perfect. But we're doing that thing that we like, that we desire, that we want, that we're going to thrive because of us following up on that thing that's a dream, an idea, an endeavor. And you can do that very same thing. There's so many things out there for you to – everything is a challenge. When you woke up this morning, you had to step onto the floor. And if it was a challenge, and you might not have realized it, but you could have turned your ankle really quickly. And it was a challenge, you know, you had to go to the bathroom, you know, if – you know, a lady's in the house and you left the seat up, she could have fell in. I'm just saying, everything presents its challenges. You can choke on that bowl, that little spoonful of cereal, you know, go down the wrong pipe. Everything is a challenge. So why not look at those things that you might want or desire in the face and accept the challenge? It's not something that you're not used to. Parents are used to challenges.
Right.
They raise kids every day. The moment that you get on the phone with one of your friends, that's a challenge. You don't know if you're going to be rejected that day. If you have to leave a voicemail, it's a challenge to think of the thing to say to get your point across. So accept the challenge. Step out on faith. Contact your inner bravery. And do what it is that makes you want to excel. Like I said, onpointphoenix@gmail.com. Write us. Ask, hey, what do I have to do? And we'll give you some ideas. We'll tell you, hey, this is how you register your name. This is how you can go. Here's where you get forms to become a DBA, a single sole proprietor, a partnership, an LLC. You know, don't do S-corps and C-corps, but I know how they're supposed to be done. And those are things that you could work with. And James is more than capable of giving you the 411. Very detailed, too. And I've had the experience,
oh,
so I'll be more than happy to help you, too. Follow your dreams.
Yeah, and you know,
it's more than just
Trey,
a cliche.
Right. And you know, we may not know everything, but we got contacts out there. We can hook you up with some folks. We've had business folks on this show? We had Veronica Scott, Noah Carmichael, Dr. Parks. We had a plethora of folks to folks can reach out to. Dr. Parks has done some pretty cool stuff with some real estate investing. So there's a lot of stuff. And yes, onpointphx@gmail.com. Write us. Go check out our Facebook. You can check out OnPoint 2015 at Facebook, and you'll see some more information there. You can reach out to us there. We also have a Twitter account. It's also OnPoint _Phoenix or _PHX as well. So, you know, Trey made some very, very good points. Is you have to access that inner bravery and look at, you know, what it is that you want to do. And it'd be crazy enough to go do it. It's not that hard. Once you get a taste for it, oh, it's hard to go to corporate America. It's hard.
It's
hard to go from being your own boss to having a boss again. That's a transition right there. And once you get a taste of that, freedom, it changes your perspective. I mean, your glasses turn to a different color.
Hey, listen, it's been wonderful speaking with you, and we're glad that you took the time to listen with us. Raise your glasses, bottom to the top. Remember, every idea is grand and every thought is warranted. For every endeavor you take and every step you make, may they always be on point. Till next week.
On point. Take care, everyone.